Hi, friend, and welcome to the Home and Hearth Podcast. My name is Rebecca Hargraves, and I am honored to be your host for the show that is all about edifying, equipping, and encouraging women in their journey of biblical womanhood. If there is an issue that pertains to a woman's life, you'll find it discussed here. We'll be covering everything from topics pertaining to marriage, motherhood, homemaking, and the Christian walk, to issues of health and fitness, infertility, adoption, chronic illness, and current event issues in the church and culture. It is my prayer that you will find an episode here which speaks directly to what you're going through at this very moment, and that you'll receive the encouragement you need for your daily life. Thank you for joining me. And welcome to episode number 94 of the Home and Hearth Podcast. You are tuning in to part two of my conversation with Katie Walters. Last week, we had part one of that chat, and we were talking all about navigating the working mom life. We are coming back at you today with the second and final part of that conversation. Today, Katie is offering advice and encouragement for the mama listening who is feeling that pull to go back to work or to maybe start a business or to go in the direction of some sort of work in addition to mothering, but maybe just isn't sure what the first step might ought to be. We're talking today about some myths and stereotypes in the church surrounding working women that, you know what, we just need to get rid of. We're also talking about how Katie has been able to cultivate so well the beautiful relationship that she has with each of her children. Katie shares about the importance of intentionally studying our children and learning who God made each of them to be, and truly being a cheerleader for our mama friends and pointing out a job well done in their lives when we see it. So this is sure to be an encouraging and uplifting and inspiring conversation, just like last week was. And in addition, since this is the second part of our conversation, we round out this episode with those fun, rapid-fire, get-to-know-you questions that you always look forward to at the end of every episode. Before we dive into part two of my conversation with Katie, though, I wanted to make a quick and exciting announcement. So if you follow me over on Instagram, I am at Rebecca Hargraves, then you know that I have been toying around with the idea of going back to this podcast being permanently a weekly podcast like it was for the first couple months of the show back 3 years ago. We had our 3-year anniversary just 2 days ago. So happy 3-year anniversary to the podcast. Anyway, we are definitely going to for sure be going back to this being an every single week podcast instead of the every other week podcast that it had been for a couple years. And starting in July, we will be alternating interview episodes with solo podcast episodes with yours truly. I've heard so much sweet feedback from you guys about how much you enjoy the solo podcast episodes. I've only done two of them so far, but you guys have really enjoyed those, asked that I not stop those. And so we're just going to go ahead and start alternating things, interview, solo podcast, so on and so forth. So that is what we will begin in July. Look forward to that. In the meantime, we will continue to release episodes every single week for our spring and summer extravaganza, but the alternating schedule will begin in July. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Katie Walters. Enjoy. Do you have any advice for the mama listening who may be in that place where she's feeling a pull to either go back to work or to start her own business or do some kind of work in addition to the work of being a mom, but just isn't sure if it's the right step for her, the right next step, the right step for the season? What would you say to her?
I think the first thing, I guess, would just be my first biggest encouragement would be, if God called you to it, he will be faithful, you know, to equip you with everything you need, provision and the grace to do it, the mercy to do it. And I think most people, more than anything, need courage. They need courage to start something or to take a risk or to try that idea out, you know, to start that podcast or to start writing. And most people need the courage to actually start. But after that, I do think as far as timing goes, timing is so important. And that's what I told you before, you know, what I've learned is that God is so faithful, but every season is a season, you know, and it, and sometimes it's not the right time for everything in that specific season. So I would say when it comes to timing, some things that have helped me is to ask the people closest in your home who are watching you, your husband, you know, get a pulse on where your children are at. Ask a friend that actually sees you mother, that sees your life, and ask some really trusted people about the timing of it. Like, how do you think this would impact our family? And what would you think about, you know, this? And, usually I feel like if you, you know, you have wise people around you, you're going to get some good answers as far as timing goes, you know? And then, I think, because it's me talking, I need to just encourage anybody that, again, God's grace will be with you. His favor will go with you. There, like Francis and Benedict honestly should not work. It shouldn't have worked from the beginning. It shouldn't work now. I didn't know anything about business, only really about ministry. I didn't know how to lead teams. I didn't know how to do marketing. I didn't know how to sell a product. I didn't know how to get products across the, you know, world. And all of that, God has been so faithful to every step of the way, given me the right people, the right insight, the right knowledge for each step, you know. And I definitely did not have all the answers when I started. I didn't even know the right questions, you know what I'm saying, that I'm asking now. And so I would just, you know, that would be my biggest encouragement to anybody who is starting to fill a pool, or you feel like you have an idea, or something that you're hopeful for, is just to have the courage to start, and then ask yourself and the people very closest to you about timing. And for instance, I have one of my good friends who's been a stay-at-home mom now. Her oldest child is 17. So for 17 years, she's been a full-time stay-at-home mom. And she started feeling a tug towards ministry, that she wanted to be working in the church and serving. And so she started basically doing the job for free that she wanted to do. She had a passion for worship and for teaching children worship. And she started doing the job as a volunteer. And it just this year has led to her doing it as a part-time position. But that would be my other encouragement for moms, is that, you know, there is something to say for building something or starting something or being willing to do it for a season for free. And that's a hard thing to say, but that's just the reality of sometimes what it takes, you know, to get that God idea and that dream out of you.
That's so true.
And it helps you, it helps show you what you really are passionate about and care about. Just like I told you, my sister used to go write every night after her kids went down, and her husband got home from work. She saw that that was something she would do no matter what, even if nobody was paying her to do it. Mm-hmm. And, so I think, you know, think about that. What is something that you would do no matter what? Nobody would have to pay you to do it, because it's such a passion in your heart. And, start there, you know.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so good. Yeah, because, I mean, I'm thinking, like, you know, as a writer, I mean, that's the way a lot of people do start out, is, like, they're blogging, or they're guest posting, or, you know, writing in their journal. Like, you know, it starts somewhere. It doesn't just start, like, with a New York Times bestseller, you know?
No. And it makes so much sense, because all of that building along the way is what helps you figure out your voice, who you're speaking to, what they really want to know. You know, that it makes so much sense that you have to build it, because you have to be able to build it to be able to sustain it. And it's the same way for me with Francis and Benedict. Like, the reason why we're not, you know, selling 50,000 skirts right now is because I don't know how to run a company that's selling that many skirts. I'm learning all these things as I go, you know, to build up to that, to be able to sustain it. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it really is. So
that's so neat.
Yeah.
This is just so good. and we talked about, you know, a minute ago about, like, some of the controversy that can be in certain circles of the church and things like that. But in addition, would you say that there are any myths or stereotypes or things like that in the church, kind of surrounding working women, that you would say we just need to get rid of?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, so many. I mean, you know, there really is so many, because I do think sometimes you can think that they are, that if a working woman is, you know, more selfish, or she's going after her own personal ambition, or she or her family's having to sacrifice for her to do that. And oftentimes it's the most selfless thing a woman can do, to work outside the home, to provide for her family, to grow her skills, to be viable in any kind of market, you know, to really grow and develop. And so I think we have to throw that off. And honestly, the comparison trap, especially when it comes to working versus stay-at-home moms, is such a ridiculous notion, even, because every family is so different. Every season with different kids is so different. And I'll tell you, from my 15-year-old to my 2-year-old, they all six of them are vastly different kids. And what they need from me as a mom is different. And especially what they need based on their ages is different, you know? And a lot of times we think, you know, in the toddler years, gosh, if a mom's working, like, wow, somebody else is with her kids all day, every day. Yeah. But I'll tell you too, as when they're teenagers, oftentimes they need a mom at home, you know, just as much as any other season and stretch. And so I don't think we can ever look from the outside in and make any kind of myths or assumptions or stereotypes about any woman. I think, the like what we can look at and encourage each other with is, you know, what does the fruit of our lives and family say? And sometimes I don't even think we'll know that until our grandkids, you know what I'm saying? I just think we need to just throw it all off and not try to estimate anybody's season based on just that one glimpse, you know, or picture of their lives, because I'm not sure we're going to really even know exactly the women that we should have been modeling after until we can see generational fruit, you know, of what their lives are showing us. And so as much as we can do that, the better. And as much as we can just take ourselves in our own lane and we'll seek, like I said, to love better as much as we can, to serve our families more. And that's my biggest thing, is I'm like, honestly, I don't really have time to look or judge any other moms, because I've got enough growth to do on my own. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, I just can't even imagine having the time to really judge how they are on the mom standard list. Cause I'm like, listen, I've got plenty of growth that can happen in my own little house, you know?
Yes.
I think if we focus there, we'll be doing probably better. Anything else.
Yes. Gosh. Well, you know, as you're kind of talking about your kids, one of the things that I just love about so many of your Insta stories is that you're with your kids a lot of times in those, like, you know, in one area or another, one child or another. And so it's been so clear, just kind of, you know, being on the outside looking in, but it's been so clear just that you have such a close relationship with your kids. And so we've talked about this a little bit already, but I would just love it if you could share a little bit about what that has looked like, you know, how you've been able to cultivate that relationship so well, and kind of any wisdom that you might have to share along those lines.
Oh, thank you, girl. Well, thank you for saying that. I hope so. I mean, I do, you know, most of the time there, I like to make videos with them because I think they're more exciting than my normal work life. I don't know how many people want to sit, you know, see a video of, like, this morning I sat with, you know, my mom and another board member as we were doing a strategy session, which I'm sure would make for just a fine Insta story video. But my 10-year-old being silly is just so much more funny. But I mean, I guess I'm trying to think of what, you know, would encourage and be like replicatable, I guess, to all moms, because I think every mom has such a special connection with each one of their children. And I mean, from the time my kids were, you know, in utero, I felt like I was asking God for words about them and tell me things about them. Let me study them. Let me know who they are. And I think that's the most special thing with each one of them, is I really do think God delights in telling me how he sees them, you know, and things about them that I can call out of them, that I can speak into them. And honestly, like, again, my mom, as the example of that, my name is Catherine and it means pure at heart. And there's been so many seasons where she's called me back to that, you know, and is like, your name means pure at heart. And I don't know. So I just think I do that for my own kids too. I love thinking about them so uniquely and so the special things about them. And then practically speaking, I honestly just try to speak as much life over them as possible. I feel like our words are cords that attach themselves to life or death. Mm-hmm. And so I just try to speak into them things that, you know, sometimes I have to use my imagination to see. But when I use my imagination, I'm like, okay, he is a mighty man of God. He is a leader. He is strong. He's loyal. He's fierce, you know, and yeah. And so I try to just speak as much life into those areas and places and not as much about the behavior and remember those qualities. But I'm like, for instance, this is just a real practical one. So my six-year-old, his name is Ari, and from the time he, you know, was in my stomach, I felt like God was giving me words about him as just this loyal little leader. He's the fifth child, but he's the leader. He's a leader. And, I would call him my little priest. So all of them I have little names for, like my prophet, my pastor, my missionary. I would call him my little priest. And I know he has such a black and white view of right and wrong, you know, and so many strengths about him. But also he's in the stage of development, which they say are like 6 to 8 year old boys. And they call it the lover stage, where they really are like such little loves. But when they are not acting like that, when he's being mean or rude or he gets angry, in my mind, I could sometimes call him like angry Ari because he gets so angry. But I would not want to let myself say that, mm-hmm. you know, out loud to him, because that would speak such death over him. So I try to remember, like, okay, he is a love. He is my first one to come up and want to hug me, want to cuddle me. He's actually like more of a baby than I think he is, because of sometimes his mouth makes, you know, him seem like he's so much older. It does, because he's like, oh, that person's rude, or she's being mean, or, you know, he seems like he's so much older, but he's not. Mm-hmm. So when I, you know, see that kind of behavior tendencies in him, I try to think, okay, what areas do I need to slow down, pull him in, bring out that side of him, that lover side of him, that leader side of him, that one that wants to please, that piece of him that really wants to please, you know,
that is, and doesn't so wise.
Love correction. So I try to, practically speaking, just call out the good in them as much as I can. And not that I don't want to discipline or that I want to let go of bad behavior, because I don't. Mm-hmm. I still want to, you know, correct it. But the more that I try to call out the good in them and see the good, it helps me enjoy them more. Mm-hmm. And practically, enjoying them is just the best gift you can give your kids, because it really makes you like a more enjoyable mom too. And it kind of changes the whole temperature of things. So that's really my, you know, my like personal thing is just, I love to go to God to get different ideas about what he says about them. And I try to do that often. Like even for the summer, I got one scripture for each of them that I could be praying over them and, you know, praying that God would help me foster in them, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. But then practically I just try to speak that life as much as I can. And sometimes it's, you know, more challenging than others. They all just go through seasons where they're super lovable, and then they go through seasons where they are really, really challenging. Yes. But thankfully now with my 15-year-old, I can see where God really is faithful to get them through all the different stages of development, you know? And I think speaking life as much as we can really helps, you know, helps to navigate through those.
That is such a good reminder. It really is. Because I think, you know, we're all so busy. So sometimes we just kind of go through the motions and just do our thing and get stressed or overwhelmed or just not super intentional or whatever. But to then realize, okay, so your words, they have power, you know. And so are they going to be good or are they going to be bad? Because they're going to be something.
Yes, it's so true. And, I mean, you know this, but whatever gets our prayers, our time, our energy, gets in our attention, you know, gets our heart. And so trust me, that is a challenge for me too with Francis and Benedict, is I try to remind myself to give them my best, to give my kids my best, and to give them my my prayers and my time and my energy. And that's where I even got the scripture for giving for them for the summer, as I was coming back from Togo and I was making all these plans for Francis and Benedict for the summer and prayers that I had for Francis and Benedict. And I feel like God reminded me, like, hey, let's do that for each one of the kids. Let's pray into each one of them. And so, like, honestly, I don't always get it right, but I just try to listen to God, because I know that if I'm just going through my day, then it actually ends up being more difficult, you know, to mother than if I actually give it my prayers, my time, my words, that kind of stuff, you know.
Yes, that is so true.
Yeah, it's very true. Cool. It does. It happens to all of us because, yeah, you know, life is just busy and full. So I think it's going to be things that we go, you know, we have to go in and out of, get called back to, and and that kind of thing, and speak into each other. Like, that's one thing I love to say to my friends, like, hey, I see you. I see you being that good mom. I see you preparing for her coming home. I see you, because, like I'm saying, women, we don't tell each other these things. And culture will not tell us. It will yell at us when we're doing bad, but it doesn't tell you that you're doing a great job, you know, for putting them first and that kind of thing. So I think we can help speak it into each other too.
Oh, that is so good. This is all just so good.
Oh, thanks, babe.
Oh, well,
that was sweet.
I'm so grateful for just your wisdom and your encouragement. And, you know, before we transition here in a little bit into the kind of fun, rapid fire, get to know you questions that are fun to do at the end of each episode, I would love it if you just have kind of a burning message on your heart, or something that you want the moms to have as their main takeaway, or just kind of whatever's on your heart to share. What would that be?
That's such a good question. I mean, I guess if I had to, you know, say one thing to mamas listening, it would just be one, to, I guess, just take in the grace and mercy of God for themselves first, to really receive His love and what He says about them, and so that they can then do that for their kids. Because I think the more compassion we can have on ourselves, the more grace, the more open to learning and growing and changing, then the more, you know, gracious and merciful and compassionate we are on our children, for our children too. And so I think oftentimes that is kind of the recipe for how do we encourage those around us, whether, even if it's not our children, even if it's just for other women around us, how are we more loving and more encouraging and more servant-hearted? I think it kind of starts with how we see ourselves and how we receive God's grace and love. And I just think there's so many moms that are so hard on themselves. They feel like they're never doing enough. They're not accomplishing enough. They're, you know, if they're a stay-at-home mom, they're not a great one. If they're a working mom, there should be a stay-at-home mom, you know. All the, we just have so many, like, you know, things that we get down on ourselves about. And so I would just encourage them to really hear what God says about them, because I think it's more loving than they could imagine. It's kinder than anything that they would actually tell themselves. And it's more merciful. And so once they receive that love from God, then they can be ready to really pour it out on their kids and on the women around them. And so I guess that's my main thing.
I love it. That's so true. It does. It makes a huge difference. It really does. And I think that's just like the perfect main takeaway, like the perfect way to kind of like wrap up that first portion there. Cause it does. It makes a big difference.
Thank you.
Well, I always just have so much fun asking each guest little get-to-know-you questions. So, do you, and this is kind of a funny one after what we've said about food, but do you prefer baking or cooking?
Oh, gosh. Neither. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, that works, you know?
It's so funny. I'd like to pass on either one, baking or cooking. No, I would probably, I mean, I think I would like baking more, but I don't do it very often. So I guess I would say baking, because like I said, I pretty much cook every day, but I don't bake, you know, very often.
Yeah.
So I'll pick that I would prefer baking, because who doesn't want a chocolate chip cookie?
Oh,
I'd take
right.
that any day yes. over anything.
True.
Yeah.
Gosh. So do you prefer tea or coffee?
Oh, coffee, 100%.
I
black
thought so.
Coffee all day.
So I Ooh. Always know, like, you go to Starbucks and stuff. So is it always yeah. black coffee, or do you ever get, like, anything else there?
It's always black coffee. Okay. Let me tell you something so vulnerable and hilarious. So every day I get a venti black, not every day, but at least 3-4 days a week, I get a venti black coffee from Starbucks, and then I get refills on it. Because, you know, you can get free refills, basically, at most stores. And I just drink black coffee. Well, one time my husband and I were looking at our budget, and we're like, oh my gosh, that is like a lot of money every year on coffee. It's like, you know, in the thousands. And we both looked at each other and we were like, yeah, I think that's good. Terrible. It's like our, I don't know, it's like our weird treat or whatever. But yeah, so I 100% spend way too much money on coffee and would definitely be addicted. That's another thing. Working in Togo, none of the Christians drink coffee or caffeine. Oh. Like, it's literally just as bad as alcohol to them.
Oh, wow.
And so poor Francis, I always have coffee in Togo. I have a Keurig over there, and he's probably like, oh, this crazy American who is so addicted to caffeine. So maybe the Lord will take it from me at some point. And Instagram will be the first to know, but
yes.
I'd probably never make an Insta story again. I'd be too tired or
right.
something.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yes, black coffee all day.
I love it. It's so funny because we, now there are Starbucks like all over our town, but we just had one open like literally less than like, oh goodness, probably 3 minutes from our house, 4 minutes
yeah.
maybe. And so I'm like, oh, this is either a really good thing or a really bad thing. I don't know which.
I will tell you, I would have to say good, but
yeah.
it's the same for me. Ours is like 3 minutes away. And,
I love it.
Oh man. Yeah. We have a lot of relationships there. I'll say that.
That's so special, though.
Just,
it's so fun.
It's really fun. Oh, my gosh.
I love it. I'm a fellow coffeeaholic, so I am totally
good.
All about it.
It's very good. Listen, us sevens, we got to find something healthy addiction.
Yes,
it's either coffee
right.
or something else.
So true.
So
we're doing
true.
What we can do.
That's right. Nobody judge us. We're just trying to get by
That's
in the
right.
world.
They don't know what it's like being a seven.
They don't. They can't imagine.
That's right.
Oh, gosh. It's true.
So funny. So, do you prefer reading blogs or listening to podcasts?
Oh, podcasts, definitely.
I thought so.
Yeah, I'm a big podcast girl. I love podcasts. And I never really jumped on the blog train.
Yeah.
So, I didn't get in the habit of it. So, it's not really a part of my world.
Yeah.
Blogs. Yeah.
That makes sense. I get it. Well, podcasts are just so convenient. You know, that's the thing. I'm like, oh, I can actually still get things done while I'm learning about whatever it is.
For sure. And I'm in the car a lot of my life.
Yeah.
As a mom of six. So it is a huge convenient way mm-hmm. to take in content, you know,
yes.
because, I'm on the go a lot in this season. So it is such a gift for
yes.
sure.
I love it. So do you prefer printed books or Kindle books?
Great question. So I actually prefer audiobooks really above anything. But I in 2019, one of my goals was to learn French or to start the journey of learning French. So I'm in a French class right now. And so I actually gave up audiobooks this year so that I could learn French because I was having to listen to like a lot of CDs or different French YouTubes or stuff like that, you know, while I was in the car.
Yeah.
So I've done one audiobook recently because I'm in the Bible study I'm in. We're reading that Bait of Satan audiobook.
Oh, yeah.
Or we're reading it, but I'm listening to it on Audible. But normally, like last year, I listened to over 60 books on Audible.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I love audiobooks. But like I said, this year I had to give them up so that I could put French in my ears, you know, which honestly, I wish I could tell you I was further along in French than I am, but I'm really still struggling.
No.
I don't know. It's so hard. It's so much harder than I thought. I have so much appreciation for the people in Togo because they speak, I mean, Pastor Francis, who runs Francis and Benedict in Togo, he speaks 18 languages.
Oh, wow.
I just cannot even imagine. I'm struggling to get, you know, this one. But otherwise, I would say, you know, I would say typically I prefer audiobooks, but recently, I mean, my Bible is, you know, I like my Bible printed. I like to write in my Bible and my journal without being on my phone.
Yes.
So that one's different. And then we just had a new library open in our neighborhood.
Oh.
And I have loved that. I think I just have been away from printed books for so long.
Yeah.
That there's been something super sweet about it, about just, you know, getting in bed and actually reading a, you know, paper book. So but otherwise, I would probably say, you know, paper books over Kindle.
Yeah.
If I had to pick. I'm giving you very long answers for the fire questions.
I love it though. It's fun. I'm the same way. A friend of mine for like my 1 year podcast anniversary, so to speak, came on to interview me. And so she asked me these questions. And so I like gave these whole entire like list of reasons why my answer was what it was single one. And finally I was like, oh, wait. Okay, so maybe I wouldn't, but like that's as long as like the first part of the, sorry about that. Like, you know, it's so funny. She's like, wow, I know more about you now than I ever did before.
It's so true. This is why maybe sevens are better podcast interviewers than we are interviewees. That is probably true.
I tell you, it's so funny. This is like so just so fun to be chatting with a fellow seven because I knowingly anyway have not, I don't know that I have chatted with other sevens and known they're sevens. So I just think it's so funny, like all the similarities.
It is so true. I'm telling you, I love it. I love all things Enneagram.
Yes.
So fun.
So are you a night owl or an early bird?
Oh gosh, I'm probably neither. I mean, technically, I don't like to stay up super late, but I also don't like to get up super early. So I usually say I'm more of a like 10 to 2 girl.
But
I don't think that's, an answer. So
we'll start a new name for that.
Yeah. How about I'm a daytime girl? No, I probably have to say night owl because like if I'm on vacation or something, I'm staying up late, but I can sleep in. Like I love to sleep in. Oh, whereas like I said, my sister, she will wake up early even on vacation. I am like a, you know, so I probably say night owl. Yeah. It's just right now it doesn't really work great with my life to stay up super late. So, but the college me is a night owl for sure.
Yes. So are you an introvert or an extrovert?
I am definitely an extrovert. I mean, I was just telling my mom and my sister that I love being alone, like absolutely alone. You know, I like eating lunch alone or if I ever get the opportunity to have a day where I can work alone. I really like being alone. And I have a lot of friends that if their kids are gone for a certain amount of days, they feel weird, you know, all kinds of feelings about being alone. And I really like that time. You know, I like coming back from Africa and having a 10-hour flight alone. Mm-hmm. Like I just, so
I
think in this season, I do recharge alone some, which I think is technically kind of an introvert thing, but I don't think anyone in my actual world would consider me an introvert. My mom's looking at me and she's probably like, no. So I really like people and I'm a seven, so I'm probably an extrovert, but I think I'm a strange version of an extrovert because I like to do so much alone. Nice. I like to shop alone and, you know, go to coffee shops alone.
Yes.
And all those
things. Oh, that's one of my favorite things, to go to a coffee shop by myself to just like read or write, drink coffee.
Yes.
Oh, that is like the most fun thing for me.
Same, which the Enneagram stuff has helped me because I've learned that sevens are, you know, we are in the head triad or whatever. And so we do like to think. We like to be in our heads a lot, which I think is part of that alone time. It helps us like quiet our mind a little bit, you know, and just
absolutely.
Think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. So that's probably a piece of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fun. So what is your favorite way to spend a Saturday? Or kind of like the Saturday, your version of a weekend, a Friday or whatever.
Yeah. Well, Saturdays usually we, you know, we'll have a family day, but I love to go to the beach with our kids. I mean, that's probably one of my favorite things would be to get out on the beach early or go to the beach at night. And, just play together. And I also would love to have a Saturday where we don't have any plans. That's like a dream Saturday, you know?
Yes.
And we can be doing super ordinary stuff, but just to not have to go anywhere, just to hang out together and be together, play, that is like the dream for me.
I love that.
And to be kind to each other. I always tell my kids that. I'm like, if you could give me any gift, just can we please not like bark at each other or fight or fuss? that would be the dream Saturday.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So this question may be a little bit hard and it'll have to be like from last year, but what would you say is the best book that you've read in the past year?
Oh gosh. Okay. So I'll have to tell you the one that I'm reading right now, I'm almost done with it. And it is going to hands down be one of my favorites. Now my sister's coming out with a book in September that
I'm
is
so excited.
Really, really good. Yeah, it's really good. And I've read it. So I will say that one, You're the Girl for the Job, is going to be an incredible, incredible book. And I'm not just plugging it. I really mean it.
I know. It's definitely gotta be good.
Yeah. And she used a lot of the tools in it to help get, help me get Frances and Benedict like out of me. So I would even say that to moms where, you know, you said they're starting to think about doing a dream or accomplishing something, like that book is going to be a great step. One, but I'm reading a book right now called On the Brink of Everything by, what's his first name? Somebody Palmer. Parker Palmer. And I am loving it. It is such a great book. He also wrote the book called Let Your Life Speak, which I read and I loved that book too, Let Your Life Speak. But this one's called On the Brink of Everything, and he wrote it. He's almost 80. And so he wrote it as he's like coming into his 80s. And it is just such a great needed voice, especially in our, you know, our world of achiever. And, you know, continue to, it's just a really great book. It's a very introspective and helps you kind of self-examine, ask some deep and hard questions, but also help you kind of settle some things is what it's doing for me. So, that would probably be my favorite. And like I said, last year I read so many books, so I definitely, I mean, there's a lot. I actually saw on your Instagram that you're reading Becoming right now. Are you reading Becoming?
Yes, I am. And oh my word, I started it yesterday and I'm already on page, I think it was 88. I got the ebook version because I'm having trouble like requesting holds at my library for like physical books on their website. I don't know what's going on. But so I got the ebook version and I'm already like 88 pages in, I think is what my app said. It's so intriguing.
I really loved it. Yeah, I think that's such a great book, but same, I was so intrigued by all the inner workings of one, you know, all that Michelle came from and all that she has accomplished and all the things, but the White House stuff too, like, you know, what it's like. And
yeah,
it's just all so interesting. So yeah, I loved that book too. But I actually, on my Instagram, I have a, I think I have a highlight reel with books that I've put last year, especially some of my favorite audiobooks. So that's awesome. A good place to see some of the ones I love too. Cause like I said, I did read so many last year, but right now I would say On the Brink of Everything is one of my top ones.
I'm going to be sure to put a link to that in the show notes because that sounds so good. I mean, especially like with him being at the age he is, that's so neat. You know, I love it.
Yeah. It has been a really great book for me, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like I could talk to you for hours. This has just been so good. And I know that we're going to have listeners that are going to be like, okay, I've got to follow this woman. Like, how can I find her? So what are the links that you would like me to put in the show notes? Where are you online? How can they check out Frances and Benedict? All that good stuff.
Oh, thank you, friends, so much. So yeah, that just on Instagram, they can follow me. It's just Katie Walters on Instagram. And then on Instagram, I have a link tree that kind of will take you to different places like Frances and Benedict, the shop, some articles about the mission, some different videos, some messages that I've taught like at my church. And so there's a bunch of things on Instagram on that, the profile link. But then also francisandbenedict.com is the name of the nonprofit. fashion company where you can go and buy a skirt. We've got a new mini collection that's coming out in July.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's going to be awesome. It's all minis, which we make maxis, like longer skirts, midis, and then minis all out of that African wax print. And so our mini collection will come out on July the 12th.
I think. That's my birthday. How fun.
Is it? That's
yes,
awesome.
That'll be easy for me to remember.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. That is awesome. Yeah, so it'll be that Friday, which is the July 12th. So the collection will launch then. And we really do sell out of a lot of probably 60% of our skirts within that first day that we launch. Because each skirt is one of a kind. You know, it's wax print that we've gotten from Togo that they've made and we've brought over here. So it ships, you know, that week once you purchase it. But there's only 20 to 30 skirts like that on the planet. Okay. And once it's gone, it's gone. And especially for our mini collection, some of these skirts, we only have like 3 and 4 of each pattern. Yeah. So I would just encourage people to get online quick on the July 12th and francisbenedict.com.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the best way. But thank you so much for having me and this opportunity just to share my heart, share our story. I'm so grateful for you and for so many women that open up platforms and basically share their influence, which is what you're doing, you know, with me. And I just am so grateful. Thank you so much.
Oh, Katie, I am so, so grateful for you and just your example and your wisdom and just your encouragement. And honestly, like I meant what I said about you just being a light. And so this has been a treat for me to be able to chat with you today. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, friends, that concludes our two-part episode for The Working Mama. Hopefully you are coming away with quite a bit of encouragement and inspiration as you walk forward in that working mom life and in all that God has called you to do. Thank you so much to Katie for coming on the show and offering so much of her time to us and her wisdom and her inspiration. It really has meant a lot. If you were inspired and encouraged by this episode, we would love it if you would take a screenshot of your phone as you're listening, tag Katie, tag myself on Instagram, let us know what your main takeaway was today. We would be thrilled to hear that from you. Next Wednesday on March, you hear that? That's quarantine talking to you. On May 6th, my friend Kristen Lisenby Lee will be coming on the show for a really challenging, hard, encouraging, inspiring, and uplifting, yes, all of those, conversation for the single mamas out there. Kristen shares the hard path that she has walked over the past several years, becoming a single mama to 3 children and walking through infidelity in her marriage and just a whole host of different things. And she comes on the show to share with us, to offer some encouragement for her fellow single mamas, but also to inspire us as the church for how we can best be the body of Christ to the single mamas in and outside of our congregations. So definitely come on back next Wednesday, May 6th, for that episode. As always, I hope that this episode of the Home and Hearth podcast has served to edify, equip, and encourage you for your journey of biblical womanhood. And I look forward to talking to you next time. God bless.